2 Samuel chapter number 22. The Bible said in verse number 31, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and He maketh my way perfect." Did you know it said there, His way is perfect? And then it said, He maketh my way perfect. You can be seated. I want to read to you in your hearing. I absolutely could not get away from this. This is a little devotional book that we use with the teenagers and a couple of our young adults that are away in college, just trying to keep them connected. And I want to read this devotion to you that we had yesterday and then preach from 2 Samuel this morning. The title of it is God's Way is Perfect. To a world that does things any way but God's way, I would love to ask, what's wrong with doing things God's way? What's wrong with the way the Creator of the universe has laid out for us to live? God's way is perfect. It's man's way that's wrong. Can you imagine a world with no violence, no drugs, no drunkards, no perversion, no liars, no thieves, no anger, nor anything that brings harm? Does that sound good to you? What's wrong with a man and a woman being married and loving one another faithfully? What's wrong with loving our children and not aborting them? What's wrong with loving your neighbor as thyself and not hating him or stealing the things he has worked for? What's wrong with not drinking, injecting, or smoking anything that brings hurt and harm to yourself or others? The things that God has given us in His Word are both tried and true. Man has tried his way in rebellion to God for years and has nearly destroyed this world. God's way is perfect, and He is a buckler to all those who trust in Him. The word buckler is a shield that was held close during battle. So when we go God's way and trust in Him, He will remain close to us and protect us during every battle that we must face. That was written by Brother Larry Key, the director of Crossing the Streets Ministry at Miller's Creek, North Carolina. And I wanted to give him credit for what he wrote. What's wrong with doing things God's way? What's wrong with God's people seeking God's way and walking in God's way in their life? The Lord has given me some things here that I want to share with you out of this chapter. David, we know, was a man after God's own heart. David is singing towards the end of his life. The reason we know that is in chapter 23. Now these be the last words of David. David in chapter 22 is nearing. He's singing a song of deliverance. He's writing this down in praise and honor to the Lord. And I believe there's some things here today that God wants us to magnify. I don't know how far I'll get this morning, but there's four things I want to extract from the text today. Then we may be back in it tonight. I'm just not sure. The first thing is God's perfect way begins with faith in Jesus. In David's case, it's faith in the Lord. They're one and the same. Amen. It begins with faith in the Lord Jesus. God's perfect way not only begins with faith in Jesus, but God's perfect way continues to follow Jesus. And then God's perfect way is finished with Jesus. And then God's perfect way, and I like this, is forever with Jesus. Amen. I like that word, forever. Amen. I'm going to be like Him, not for a day or two, forever. I'm going to be with Him, not for a day or two, but forever. Amen. And that, you know, is a blessing to me. Why would anybody want to go to heaven and be like Him if they don't want to be like Him down here? Why would anybody want to go to heaven with all of God's people when they don't want to meet with some of God's people down here from week to week. Amen? I tell you, it's a blessing to know the Lord. But in the onset of the message today, I looked this up last night. I knew it was in the Scripture, but I'm not sure if I knew the difference in the two verses. They're very similar, almost the same. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." There's all kinds of things going on today that seem right unto man because man has put their stamp of approval on those things. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a big difference between the way that seemeth right and the way that is right. Amen. You don't have to worry about the way that is right. You don't have to worry about missing that way because that way is found in the Bible. Amen. That way is God's way. And then Proverbs 16:25 said, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The only difference in those two verses is the word "which seemeth" and then "that seemeth." The word "which" and the word "that," meaning exactly the same thing. God only has to say something once for it to be true. But God repeated this. He wanted us to understand. Solomon wanted us to know, one of the wisest men that ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted us to know that just because the way seems right doesn't mean that the way is right. I'm not going to name any names, but I watched the broadcast, just a little bit of it. Amen. Listen to me carefully. I'm not going to name names, but I watched a broadcast on TV last night. And a choir that used to be full is now every other seat. A congregation that used to be full is now, I'm telling you, we've got twice as many people at Bible Way this morning than they had in that congregation. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" Well, it might seem right if you got a big crowd to start you a contemporary service and then come over here and have you a traditional service. But I'm going to tell you something. What the way that seems right, beloved, is not always right. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, you're looking at a pastor that wants to stay in the old-time way. Seek ye out the old paths, the Word of God said. And when you find them, walk therein. I don't ever want to be like the children of Israel when they said, "We will not walk therein." I'm going to tell you, beloved, God's way is perfect. I love the way the man worded the devotion. What's wrong? What's wrong with a man and a woman getting married and loving each other, loving their children, and loving their grandchildren? Amen. What's wrong with that? That's God's way. Amen. Man come along and said, "A man can get with a man, and a woman can get with a woman." God never said no such thing. And beloved, listen, that is not God's way. It might be legal to drink, but it's not God's way. It might be legal to gamble, but it's not God's way. Now, I got to get off of the social issues because some of you are already turning red in the face. I'm going to tell you something. Whether it's your family or my family, what's right's right and what's wrong's wrong. And God's already told us, amen, what's right and what's wrong. Amen. God's perfect way begins with faith in Jesus. In John 14:6, the Bible said, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Beloved, if you didn't start with Jesus, you're not going to finish with him. Did you hear what I said? If you didn't start with a new birth, with faith in Jesus, then you can forget about finishing with him in the end. But beloved, if you started with him, I'm confident of this very thing. I didn't even plan on saying this. "He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. I didn't start this work in me, and I ain't going to finish it. Amen. But I know the one who did. Amen. And so did David. David out there on the backside of the desert taking care of the sheep that God sent for him. Said, "I got something for you to do." Amen. "Are there any left of the sons of Jesse?" "Yeah, there's a little boy out, Johnny. Fetch him, because we're not going to sit down until he comes." Amen. Old Samuel said that to him. That ain't the one the world would have chose, but that's the one God chose, because he was looking for a man after God's own heart. He was not looking on the outside of that man, but he was looking at the heart of that man. The Bible said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Have you ever stopped and thanked God that you're one of the few? Hallelujah. Amen. I could have been born in Africa, or I could have been born in South America, or I could have been born in Mexico and been raised to worship Mary. Amen. Are you listening to me? I could have been born in a lot of different places, but thank God I was born where I was born. Thank God there was a Bible where I was born. Thank God that Sunday school teacher stood up like a giant, about 6'4", 6'5", and I'm telling you, had a real deep voice like Brother Larry. Boys, this is what the Word of God said. Amen. He wasn't a preacher, but I would have thought he was. Amen. And you, if you even wiggled wrong, amen, he'd call you down in that class. I thank God for that teaching that I had as a boy that taught me there was a Savior that loved me and gave himself for me. And I was going to stand before him one day. I needed to make preparation to meet God. 2 Samuel here, David said, this is his song, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried." Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about if the enemy could destroy the Bible, wouldn't they have already done it? Oh, they go over there and say, "We're going to dig up something and disprove it." God said, "Get your shovel." Everything they dig up proves it. Ain't that good? But you know what? I don't need a shovel. I got the Spirit. Amen. And the Spirit of God lets me know the Word of God is the truth. I've never questioned the Word of God because it's tried and it's true. I want to give you some things this morning in the chapter, and I want you to stay with me a few minutes here. I know I'm not going to get finished with this today, but I want to give you something today that I believe will be a real blessing with you. God's perfect way begins with Jesus. Look at the first part of the chapter with me, please. "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all," I want you to notice that, "his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." We see here in the Word of God, beloved, that it is God's way to put your faith and your trust in the Lord. I don't know what a lot of people are trusting in, but the kind of faith that saves comes out of the Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I believe that's why that Bible teachers and Bible preachers are always careful to examine and make sure that what they're giving the people comes from God's Word. It's not man's idea. Amen. David started out right. He started out with the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart there's something here today that'll bless your heart if you'll just stay with me. David didn't only start out right. The Bible said here in verse number 1, out of the hand of Saul, out of the hand of all of his enemies. But you know, if you would think about it right, when you got saved, you know what God did? He pulled you out of the hand of the devil. And he pulled you out of the hand of this world. Say amen. He delivered you from an enemy that's much greater than Goliath. An enemy, beloved, that's much greater than Saul. An enemy that's much greater than those that are persecuting the people of God in Israel. The Bible said here, he's my salvation. He's my shield. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. He's my Savior. He saves me from violence. You say, "Pastor, why did you try to emphasize those things?" Because it's personal. Hey, listen, Brother Shannon, you're sitting there next to your precious wife, and you can't speak for her, and she can't speak for you. You were there. It's personal. You know when it happened. You know what happened. Say amen. I'll tell you this, I love my daddy when he was living. He went to heaven in 2015. I have all the confidence in the world in my daddy, but I wouldn't trade with my daddy because daddy knew what daddy had, and a pastor knew what pastor had. And everybody ought to feel that way, amen, as much as we love one another, amen. Why would you take a chance on trading with somebody that's got a counterfeit, amen? I'm telling you, beloved, every one of us ought to be able to say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It ought to be personal for each one of us. That's why the term is used. Trust Jesus as your personal Savior. It's personal. Amen. But then I want to give you this today. I'm going to spend a little bit of time right here, and I hope this blesses you the way it did me. God's way, His perfect way, continues to follow Jesus. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The Bible said the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Listen to this. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I remember one time when I was in a turmoil. I had no idea what to do. But then making a ministry decision, Brother Larry, like you've had to do many times, amen. And I just didn't know which way to go, amen. I was trying to memorize Psalm 1, and God stopped me in that last verse and said, the Lord knoweth the way. I said, hallelujah. All I got to do is follow Him, amen. I don't know the way out of this mess or the way through this mess, but He knows the way. And all I got to do is follow Him. Amen. David was one that had discovered the Lord knew the way. And all I got to do. Remember when he come down there with that giant? He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, that same God will deliver me from this giant that's standing down there in the valley. Beloved, defying the armies of the living God. And so God's way, His perfect way, begins with faith. But God's perfect way also continues in faith. I want you to think about this. In Galatians chapter 3, Paul was talking to the church there at Galatia. He said, oh, foolish Galatians. Beloved, let me ask you something. Since you've been saved, you ever done anything foolish? You ever thought anything foolish? Everybody's got a smile on their face. Amen. Pastor too, if that helps you. Amen. We've said some foolish things, thought some foolish things, say amen, said some foolish things. And but the Bible said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? What's going on in the book of Galatians? Those Judaizers are trying to pull the Galatian church out of the grace of God back under the law. That's what's going on. But now listen to this. He said, this only would I learn of you. Received you by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Paul is asking them, how'd you get in? How'd you get saved? Did the law get you in? The Bible said, by the works of the law, so there shall no flesh be justified. And so Paul is just reminding them, how'd you get in? Did you get in by faith, or did you get in by works? Amen. Did you get in by the works of the law? Or did you get in by faith in Christ? He said, this only would I learn to you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, are you so foolish? Now listen to this. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made, there's that word, perfect by the flesh? Let me give you an illustration of what happens so many times. People genuinely come forward. An old-fashioned altar, maybe they bow at their bedside. Maybe they bow in a tent meeting. And they genuinely put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're taught that the only way to be saved is to trust Jesus. And they come and they trust Jesus. And then they're taught this. They're taught, now you got to get up. And you got to spend the rest of your life trying. They went from trusting to trying before they ever got back to their seat. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. We're not saved by trying. We're saved by trusting. How are we sanctified? We're not sanctified by trying. We're sanctified by trusting. The Bible said, for the just shall walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible said, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Beloved, listen, we didn't start without Christ, and we're not going to continue without Christ. The key to God's perfect way is it begins in Christ, but it continues in Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. Beloved, Paul was a very educated man. He could have got up and spilled those words that you have to have a wheelbarrow to haul them around in. But he wasn't interested in that. He wanted God to get the glory. He wanted sinners to get to Calvary. He wanted them to get to the cross. He wanted them to understand their need of a Savior. There's something here in the Scripture that I'll share with you and I'll close this morning. It's a blessing to me. First of all, just go on down with me now. The Bible said here in verse 4, I will call on the Lord. There's prayer. Who's worthy to be praised? There's praise. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. There's protection. I'm just throwing that out there this morning. Those are little things I wrote in the margin of my Bible. When the waves of death compassed me about, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. There's a young lady in our church this morning. One of her favorite verses, if not her favorite verse, is Psalm 56 and verse number 3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. You know what I'll say to us this morning? If David was afraid, it's all right. If there's times when we're afraid. But when we're afraid, we'll just go ahead and trust in Him. Amen. We'll trust in Him. I may take time tonight and read some more from that passage of Scripture. It's such a blessing. He said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about and the snares of death prevented me. How many knows that some of this is prophetic? It's speaking not only of David, but it's speaking of the Lord Jesus and what He's going to be facing. He said, in my distress, I called on the Lord. I cried to my God, and He did hear my voice. And out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. Come on down to verse number 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Now, I'm going to give you something this morning. I did a little bit of studying. It seemed to me like last night when I was reading this that how can this be? How can a man, Brother Jason, that has lusted? How can a man that has committed adultery? How can a man that had another man murdered, got him drunk, had him murdered, Uriah? How can that man, and I begin to think, well, you know, let me just look up some things and let me study some things. So here's what some people think. They think this was written before that happened with Bathsheba. Now, remember what I told you in the first verse there? Out of the hand of all of his enemies. Remember the next chapter? These are the last words of David. Honey, this is towards the end of his life. Now, I'm fixing to show you something that'll bless your socks off, amen. I mean that. How can this man that has done such things say, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, I have not wickedly departed from my God. Go back with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Man, I could preach right here an hour, but I'm telling you, I want to give you the truth of it this morning anyway. Maybe wet your whistle enough that you'll come back tonight. Amen. I remember Brother Steve years ago, he said, I learned something from Pastor. He said, you can break that thing in half. Amen. I don't know if it's going to be broken half or whatever, but I know I have no way I'll get it all out this morning. Amen. But I want to show you something here. In verse number, chapter number 12 of the book of Samuel, David has went on now a year or 13 months thinking that his sin is covered, thinking that he's got it all hidden, that it's all out of sight. And if you'll read Psalm 51, even though he thought it was out of sight, there was a turmoil going on the inside of him. He was tore up. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And I watched this. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb. That word save there means accept. One little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. I'll just say this. There ain't no lamb drinking out of my cup. If your little puppy sups out of your cup, good for you. Amen. There ain't no little puppy, no little cat licking out of my cup. Say amen. Amen. That's free of charge. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd. He had a flock and a herd of sheep and to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, the only thing he had, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. David's anger was kindled. Let me just stop and say this morning. Isn't it something? How easy it is to see sin in somebody else's life. How easy it is to be angry about sin in somebody else's life. But the Bible said here, and he said unto Nathan, as the Lord liveth, and as the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. No way did David know that he was pronouncing this judgment upon himself. But listen, he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, listen to these words, thou art the man. You know when you're going to get saved? Listen to me carefully. It's when no longer you're saying, why, everybody sinned. You know when you're going to get saved? I've sinned. You know when you're going to get saved? When you say, it wasn't them Roman soldiers. It was my sin. It was driving them nails in his hands. It's not so much, Brother Larry, that God so loved the world, but he loves me.
Amen. That's good. Yeah.
And it becomes about you and him. David said here, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Now watch this. It's going to get gooder. Watch. The Bible said here, I got to get this out of my eyes so I can read. The Bible said here, I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Boy, I've never picked up on that before. Honest, I've said it that David might as well have stuck the sword in his side. But I never picked up on that verse till just now. Nathan said, thou hast killed Uriah with the sword. You say, Pastor, why did you say what you said? Because the Bible said David sent a letter by Joab. He said, I want you all to take and go out into the hottest part of the battle. And then the Bible said, retire from him. In other words, just get right out there in the battle and then back up and leave Uriah standing out there by himself. In other words, I've said David might as well have stuck the sword in him himself. Looks like God agrees with me. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain with the sword the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house. There's a statement that I've been sharing. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. The sword will never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. And he did. And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. Now watch verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, now that's not a whole lot to say, is it? But he said, I've sinned against the Lord. If you think with me for just a moment, David's the king. Could he not have had Nathan killed just as easily as he had Uriah killed? I believe it was a relief. I believe that same Holy Spirit you sang about, brother, pricked him in his heart. And he knows now, I've hid it from all of Israel, but I've not hid it from my God. My God knows about it. And he says, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, watch this, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Do you know what's going on in 2 Samuel when David says, he delivered me because he delighted in me. He rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Let me tell you what's going on right there in that text. David believes what Nathan told him. That God had put away his sin. Do you know why our past keeps haunting us? And because why the old slewfoot keeps digging in it? Why he keeps trying to discourage us? I read a story not too long ago about a young preacher that stood up. And brother, they exposed his past. He had lived wickedly. And so they thought, well, he won't even get in the pulpit after what we've told on him. He got in the pulpit. He said, everything that they said's true. He said, I'm so ashamed. But he said, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He's the one that's forgiven me. You know why David is going to go on, beloved? Listen, after that he messed up, after that he got right with God, you know why he's able to go on and say, my hands are clean now, my heart's clean, I'm right with God, I'm doing the things, and it's because that same precious blood, amen, that washed you and I from our sin, amen, we're looking back to Calvary, they were looking forward to Calvary, amen, but listen, when God forgives sin, he does it thoroughly. There's no explanation for David being able to talk like that other than that day Nathan said, your sin has been forgiven. Has your sin been forgiven? There's two kinds of people in the world. Those whose sin has been forgiven and those who need their sin to be forgiven. You know, we're in between. Either your sin has been forgiven. I'm not advocating, listen to me carefully, I am not at all advocating to go out here and do this or do that. Paul said, shall we sin that grace may abound? He used these two words, God forbid. But I will tell you this, when you come to Jesus, that mess is behind you. It's forgiven. And I'll tell you this, as a child of God, when you do like David did and you mess up somewhere along the way, the Bible said if we will confess our sin, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us of our sin. Now listen to this word, I didn't know it was coming, and cleanse us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cleanse us from all. I like this. I heard a preacher say it years ago. Y'all know what all means in the Greek? Means all, don't it, Brother Jason? Amen. Means all. Yeah. Cleanse us from all sin. Amen. This morning. Yeah. Where are you? Yeah. God's way is perfect. You've been doing it your way. And I like to say this sometimes. People are doing the best they can. Cornelius was. Wasn't he, Brother Larry? His Bible said his alms and his prayers had come up to God for memorial. But he still wasn't saved. He said, Peter, I need you to go down there to that Gentile's house. And God had to teach Peter a lesson about what was common and unclean. And he went down there to Cornelius' house and he told him, he said, your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial. And he introduced him to Jesus. I believe sometimes people are acting on all the light that they have. If you'll do that, God will send you more light. But if you reject the light that God gives you, then beloved, God cannot send you more light. David said, my hands are clean. My heart's right. His way is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, I've been walking in his way, therefore my way is perfect. I don't know about you. This is a brand new year. I want to walk in his way. I don't want to miss his way to you. I remember sitting on the parking lot praying when y'all asked me to come and pastor over 10 years ago. I remember saying to the Lord over and over, Lord, I'm too far down the road to miss you now. God, I don't want to miss you. It scared me to death to think that I would stay in prison if God wanted me to come here, or that I would come here if God wanted me to stay in prison. By the way, beloved, for those of you who don't know, that's preaching in prison. My mom had a ball when I surrendered to prison ministry. She told the neighbors, pray for Ricky. Don't you call me that. What's going on? He's headed to prison. Oh, my mom just used that on purpose. Oh, what's he done? He surrendered to God. That's what he did. Ended up in prison. Amen. Don't look at me like that. Paul did that too. Amen. Let's bow for prayer.